want to start today. We're going to do the body of Christ, part three. Today we talked about evangelism the last time I spoke, and five different types of evangelism. And today I want to talk about discipleship, because I think as a church, that's two of the most important things that we're supposed to be doing. How many of you know we're not saved just so that we're saved, right? We're not saved just so that we can say we're Christians. Matter of fact, Christians isn't used in the scripture but about three times. Other than that, it's talking about disciples, making disciples. And so one thing I want to preface this morning with is I want to make sure you hear my heart when I say some of the things that I say, because I talk a lot about how the church isn't where it should be. Church isn't doing what it should do, that we need to do differently. And I want you to know that my heart is not like the publican and the sinner, right? Like, I'm not Republican. I said publican and sinner. Y'all know it, right? It's Pharisees and tax collector, okay, is what it was, basically. And if you don't know the story, it's in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus is talking, and he said, there's one guy that stands over there and says, thank you, God, I'm not like that guy. Right? This is my translation, okay? Toby translation. I'm not like that guy. And this guy over here says, man, forgive me, I'm a sinner, right? Who went away justified that day? The one who said, forgive me, not the one who looked at other people's lives and said, they're messed up, right? So when I say what I'm saying, and I'm saying how the church isn't what it should be and all that, please get my heart. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just trying. A lot of the things that I tell you guys, I'm actually telling to myself. You just get to hear it, because I get to say it out loud in front of you guys, right? And so it's one of those things that it's not a pointing finger. It's a, we've got an issue as the body of Christ, because some of you know we all come together. We're one body. We're supposed to be one body. And so if there's an issue, again, in the human body, if my finger hurts, the rest of my body sends aid to my finger, right? And we need to do the same thing as Christians, right? With the body of Christ. We need to help. We need to pray. We need to do some different things. And one of the things I think that we fail the most at is discipleship. I really do. And in understanding what discipleship is, we have to first understand what a disciple is. Matthew 28:18-20 says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you until the ends of the age. According to the definition on the Google machine, a disciple is a follower or a student of a teacher, leader, or philosopher, right? So it's a follower, someone who follows. So if we're supposed to be disciples of Christ, then how many of you know we're supposed to follow Christ? Then, and everybody's like, well, yeah, that's given, right? That's given. But a lot of times when we look at the church, man, it doesn't really follow Christ. It follows what they've pulled out of the Bible that we want to, let me say they, I'm say we. We pull out of the Bible what we want the scriptures to say so we can live our life the way we want to, just to be honest. And it's not actually following Christ. It's not actually following who Christ should be, what it should be to be a follower of Christ. So how do we follow Christ? The first thing in your notes is, that's it. How do we, a disciple is one who follows Christ. And so how do we do that? The only way to do that, according to scripture, first of all, is to trust in him alone for salvation. To trust in him alone for salvation. Ephesians 2:8-10 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're not saved just so that we can be saved. We're saved so that we can be a disciple, a follower, and so that we can help lead others to that. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to stop, and I'm going to go back to my next scripture. Romans 3:21-24. Why do I give you all these? So I'm squirreling, right? I had so many scriptures on that I couldn't fit them all. So I got rid of a whole bunch of scriptures. Why do I do this with all these scriptures? Because I want you to see that it's in there, man. I want you to see that this is what we're supposed to be doing according to The word. Yeah, what saith the word? That's what my dad used to always say. You come to my dad, even me as a teenager, I come to my dad like, Dad, what should I do? He's like, what says the word? I'm like, just stop riddling and tell me what to do, you know? But honestly, what's important is what God's word says about what we should do, not what other people say. No matter how we've put them there or the place that they're at in our lives, we do need to listen to people and have mentors, but that's a totally different subject, man. We need to look at God's word for our life. So Romans 3, 21 through 24 says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. There's a lot of different ways that people say that we can get to God. According to Scripture, there's really only one way. There's only one way. And I mean, I understand that the conversations about, well, what if they're a really good person and what if they're this? Scripture bears out, it's not about being a good person. It's about having a relationship with Christ. That's why, again, Scripture says in the end times, they'll say, you know, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew. But like, well, I did this and I did this and I did these things for you. He's like, yeah, but I don't know who you are. I don't know you. You could do all. How many of you know we send all kind of stuff to the Bahamas, right? For people, if we sent stuff, if you guys sent stuff, did stuff right there, you send stuff down there. If you went to the Bahamas and say, "Hey man, how'd you like that stuff I sent you?" You'd be like, "What? Who are you?" Like, "I'm the guy, man. I sent you all that stuff." Like, but I don't know who you are, right? Thank you, but I don't know you, right? That's how it ends up being, and how I think a lot of people spend their life not in real relationship, not in a relationship, but in a religious form of Christianity. And Scripture tells us that it's by faith. It's a gift. We can't do anything. Romans 5, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Through him, we also obtain access by faith into his grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The first thing that we need to understand as a disciple, as a follower, is that we trust in him alone for salvation. The next thing that we do as a disciple is worship him. Yes. Worship him. How many of you know it's we worship a lot of things in our life, just to be honest. Right? So I went to a youth event when I was youth pastor, probably 15, 16 years ago, and a guy put some stuff on the screen. He said, I want you to tell me who these people are worshiping. And he showed us different pictures, right? And one of them, he showed it. You could tell they were in a stadium, right? You could tell they were in a stadium, and they were like that. And he's like, who are they worshiping, right? And it came down, and it was a praise and worship service, and it was a church service, and they all had their hands up and were worshiping and praising, and it was different. And then he showed you another thing, and it was a much smaller crowd, and they all had their hands up, and some of them had their eyes closed, and they were, you know, excited. And then he zooms out, and it was they were at a club watching a football game on TV, and they were all so happy that was going on, you know? And all these different things. Worship is about how we treat different things. I don't know if you guys know that. It's about bowing before him. It's about lifting our hands. It's about clapping. It's about enjoying. It's about putting him in the place in our life where he should be, right? And not putting other things there. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, actually, I only have 5 through 10 on here. It says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. You know, one day we're all going to bow down to him, right? Every knee will bow. We need to put him in the right place in our lives. We need to worship him for who he is, for what he's done, for allowing us to be able to be a part of what he's doing, to be in his presence. A true disciple will worship him. A true disciple, too, will love him with their whole heart. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. right? But you know where money's at? You can put anything in that place. You can't serve God and this. You can't serve God and your job. You can't serve God and this. You can't serve God. You can put pretty much anything in your life and understand that in order to be a disciple of Christ, a true disciple of Christ, you have to love him with everything that you have, everything that you are. Galatians 1:10, this is where I think we mess up sometimes. I think we focus on other people, but Galatians 1:10 says, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. We do a lot of things to please other people, to appease other people. And let me say this, man. Scripture does tell us that we are supposed to be at peace with everyone as long as it is determined by us, right? We're supposed to find peace. We're supposed to be peacemakers. That's what we are supposed to be. So in reading this, say, well, I ain't supposed to please you. I'm only supposed to please God so I can treat you how I want. No. To please God, you have to treat everyone the right way, right? You have to love everyone. Again, Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, right? Your neighbor as yourself. To please God, to find his approval, you'll end up treating people the way that you should treat them. You'll end up acting the way that you should act if you're a disciple of Christ. James 4:4 says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We need to understand that as a disciple, sometimes we're going to do things and say things that aren't going to be too appealing to people that do not believe, right? The gospel is offensive to those that don't believe, right? But there's a big difference in saying things that are offensive and saying things that are true in the right way, right? I saw this shirt. I loved it. I sent it to my buddy. I didn't post it or anything like that because, you know, that's news. It said, I'm sorry about the mean, ugly, what does it say? Oh, I'm sorry about the mean, ugly, accurate things that I said about you, right? They're mean, ugly, and they're accurate, right? But we can't say accurate things in a mean, ugly way, right? And expect for them to be received and taken to heart, man. We need to understand that we need to love him with our whole heart. And in loving him with our whole heart, it'll change completely the way that we treat everybody around us. Amen? Then the last thing, I think it's the last thing in this little section. Nope, it's not. I'm going to keep going. We need to imitate his life as a true disciple. We need to imitate his life, right? 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. 1 John 2, 4-6 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk the same way in which he walked. Amen. When we look at the life of Christ, what is his life all about? Compassion, love, caring for other people, not being too busy for other people, right? We make ourselves so busy that we can't do the things that we're really called to do. I'm guilty of that, I think, as much or more than anybody else, man. We make ourselves so busy that we can't actually do what we're supposed to do. We can't actually be Christ in people's lives because we're not around them long enough. But if you guys remember in Scripture, all through Scripture, one point in particular, the woman with the issue of blood, he's on his way to Jairus' daughter, right, to take care of her because she's dying, and the woman with the issue of blood touches, and he stops, and he's like, hey, you gotta keep going, man, it's my daughter. Well, you're too late now, right, because you stopped. You shouldn't have stopped. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's needful to stop, because how many of you know God is in control of everything, and he's going to take care of what needs to take being taken care of when the time comes, amen? We forget about those things. We need to understand that our lives as disciples should imitate the life of Christ. The downfall with us as a church is that our lives don't imitate Christ. And because of that, there are people that don't want to come to him because of our lives. Just being honest. We need to focus. We need to focus on imitating his life. And in doing that, how do we know about his life? We obey his teachings, right? We obey what he taught us, what he showed us, what he told us, what the word of God says that our lives should be. 1 John 3:10 says, by this it is evident who are the children of God. How many of you know the world sees, you can call yourself what you want to call. You know what? You can sit on the front porch and bark. Doesn't make you a dog, right? Right? We can call ourselves Christians and then not be Christians, right? And everyone see it in our lives. Everyone see that, or everyone see that that's what that is, so I don't want that to be a part of me because I don't want to be that, right? And again, it's the church as a whole. We're how many of you be honest? The church is not what it should be today. Amen? It's not. Do you know the only people that can fix that? The church, right? And it can start with us, man. It's evident by this. Who are the children of God? And who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. Our lives should do everything to point to Christ, who brings us to God, who allows us to have access to God. And the problem is a lot of times it doesn't. Why? Because we don't obey his teaching. So there's a part. He says it in two different places. In 1 Corinthians, it says it again in Hebrews. He's talking to the church. And he's writing to them, and he's saying, hey, yeah. Y'all need to go back to milk, right? Because you're not ready for solid foods, right? I think part of the problem with our church is that as a whole, not here, but as a whole, and we can fit into this too, is that we want to be so far and so deep into the Word of God that we neglect actually teaching the basics of Christianity. People come into the church and they're learning very spiritual and very, very deep things, but they don't understand the foundation of what's supposed to be there. And because of that, we have worship leaders that at 25, 26 years old that are leading thousands of people decide they don't want to be with God anymore and leave because it's just not what they wanted, right? We have people that are living a life but don't understand what the life is all about, right? And because of that, it messes up what life should be as far as discipleship goes. And that's what we should be doing. The scripture tells us that, I'm going to get ahead of myself, I'm going to stop. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. That's 1 John 5, 2, and 3. We need to understand to obey his teaching. We need to understand that by that we truly are disciples when we follow these things that are there, that are lined out, when we follow his word, when we worship him with everything that we have. Number two, to be a disciple, it's in your notes, or discipleship. Disciples of Christ live dependently. Like, what does it mean by that, dependently? It means that for everything that we do, everything that we have, we depend on him. The first thing is that we abide in Christ. That's how we live dependently. We abide in him. John 15, 1 through 11. It's a long one. Where are we at time-wise? I'm okay. So like I said, I sat down last night and about halfway through, I'm like, man, you got way too much. We need to cut this back. And so I pulled some stuff out and I left some stuff in. But John 15, 1 through 11 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We can't be followers of Christ. We can't be disciples. We can't disciple others if we're not abiding in him and what he's done for us and who he is. And you say, well, that kind of lines up with what you talked about earlier. It does and it doesn't. We get our access to God through him. That's our salvation. We depend on him for salvation. But we still have to abide in him after salvation comes. Right? I know there's a big difference of opinion on how it works and how this is, and you can't lose salvation, and like, where did it go? I don't know. That's not how it works. But how many of you know, if you look at the relationship the way that Christ put the relationship, or the way the scripture shows us what the relationship should mimic as far as the bride and the groom and us and God, how many of you know, sometimes the bride or the groom can decide they don't want to be a part of it no more, right? It happens. And I know for a while, as a kid, as a young guy, I served God, man. I love God until I got my teenage years, and then I got stupid. You know, it's just sometimes that happens. And I, for 10 years, I didn't want nothing to do with him. And I believe with my whole heart, if I would have died at that point, I'd have bust hell wide open. I really do. But he allowed me to come back again. He allowed me to come back again. That's one of the things that I see about the story of the prodigal son. You know, we talk about the sinner coming home, and this is the thing. We're a part of his family, whether we've come to him or not, right? We're all a part of his family. Some of us just haven't accepted him and taken the gift that he has for us, right? Prodigal son could have stayed gone and lived with the pigs his whole life if he wanted to. But he didn't. He said, man, I need my father. I need to come home. And he did. We have that opportunity. But this is the thing. At any time, that son could have took off again. I'm tired of this. I'm leaving, right? We need to make sure that our lives abide in him. How do we do that? By walking in the Holy Spirit. By walking by his Spirit. Galatians 5:13-26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you're having issues and you're gratifying the flesh, then maybe you need to look at where you're at in your life and what's happening and focus more on God than on other things in your life. Just being honest. I need to do the same thing at times. It happens. We need to start focusing on him, because some of you know, it's easy to start looking someplace else. Just be honest. It's easy to start depending on something else instead of depending on God. It's easy to start, and you don't do it on purpose. It's not like, all right, God, I ain't coming to you no more. I'm going to go look at this thing over here. I'm going to do this over here. That's not how it works. Why? Because it says he's like a lion, roaring lion, seeing who he can devour. He puts those things out there for us to follow him. And the scripture also says he comes as an angel of light, right? Yeah. A wolf in sheep's clothing, right? We end up, I've used this before, but it's like being at the beach when I was a kid. I remember we used to go to Flagler Beach all the time, and I used to go out. I was the kid that before sunlight, I was busting out the door, and then I was coming in just to eat because they made me, and I was going right back out. I don't know if y'all were them, but that was me. But I remember going out there, and I would get into the water, and I would be hanging out, and I would be playing, and the next thing I know, I would look up, and the hotel that was right there in front of me is now way over there, right? And why is that? Because I wasn't focusing on that. I was focusing on me and what I was doing and where I was at. And I ended up being way over here instead of being where I should be, right? Where I'm called to be. It's not like we turn and go that way. It's what happens. How does that happen? Because we're not abiding in him by allowing the Spirit to lead us and guide us. And it's sometimes difficult to do, right? Because we don't even understand if we're doing it sometimes or not. Sometimes we get so comfortable with what we're doing, we end up being someplace we shouldn't be. But this is the cool thing about God, is he always lets us come back, man. How do we do that as well? How do we abide in Christ? By meditating on the Word of God. Psalms 1, the first chapter, is not very long. It says, this is, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season. In its season. How many of you know you're not always going to have fruit on your trees? Right? Right? There's some periods where we recuperate, where we rest, where we allow God to nourish us so that fruit can come again. There's a time where it says that I read in the scripture earlier that we are pruned back sometimes. We're cut back. Hey, let's dial it back a little bit so that we can go again. How many of you ever cut back a tree a little bit and then the next thing you know is way bigger than it ever was before? Right? That's what happens in our lives when we allow God to do those things. To prune us, to change us, to show us the areas that we can change so that in the right season, we'll bear fruit. His leaves does not wither, and all that he does prospers. But the wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We need to meditate on God's word. Why? So that we can be strong. So that we can be nourished, so that we can be refilled, so that the Holy Spirit can renew our minds, as the scripture says, so that we can be changed. Next thing we need to do is engage in prayer to stay in the Spirit, to abide in Him, to stay engaged in prayer. How can I continue a relationship with my wife if I don't ever talk to her? I can't. Right? How can I engage with you guys and have a relationship with you guys and not ever speak to you guys? It doesn't work. What happens? You don't talk to somebody for a little while. Next thing you know, it's completely different, and I'm different, and we're not on the same page. Right? We need to stay connected to God, man. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's funny, all throughout the scripture, people are like, I just want to know the will of God. I just want to know the will of God. You know, the word actually says, this is the will of God for your life, right? I know it's different because I asked that same question too. But all throughout the scripture, just like right here, it says, this is the will of God for your life, that you rejoice always, that you pray without ceasing, and that you give thanks in every circumstance. Knowing he's in control and he's taking care of us. Every circumstance. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, we leave that part out a lot when we quote that scripture, like I just did. A lot of times we say, bring everything to God, prayer and supplication. But we forget the with thanksgiving. So, I can't remember. No, it was last week he was talking about it. He was talking about if you make $20,000 a year, you're in the top 5% of the world, right? And no matter where we're at today in this place, in this nation, we're way better than most of the people of the world. And we forget to be thankful about that. We forget to be thankful about that. We forget to go to God and just be grateful for what we've been given. How many of you know it's amazing when your kids are grateful for what you give them? You know how uncool it is when they're not? That's the best word I can say for it right now. Uncool it is when they're not grateful for what you've given them. Like you just don't. I know, Ma. My mom's just smiling at me like, I love you, son. How do you think God feels when we're grateful for everything that He's put into our hands? When we're grateful that He's given us access to come to Him, just to even be around Him. Another way we can do that, live dependently, is partnering with the body of Christ. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many of you know the day's nearer than it ever has been? Yeah. Right? We can see that by the way the world is, by the way the church is. We can see it. And how important is it us for us to come and to do what we can do to be a part of the solutions instead of just being mad because there's a problem, right? A lot of times we do that. Y'all don't do that. A lot of times I do that, right? I'm mad because there's a problem, but I don't want to help be the solution. I don't want to look for the solution. I just want to be mad because there's a problem, right? We need to partner with the body of Christ and allow us to encourage each other, to stir up the good works that each other has, the love that each other has for each other. Number three, what'll happen? A true disciple, being a true disciple or discipleship results in a transformation. Not only in others, but more so in ourselves. I mean, it has to start here before it can go anywhere else. I love the thing that John said one time in a message. I'll never forget about when you had to teach school, right? I'll never, like, that will stay in my mind forever. But if he hadn't learned it and got it inside of him, he couldn't have given it away, right? The transformation had to start where? In my life, in your life. And when that transformation comes, what happens? What does transform? First of all, the scripture says that our minds are transformed. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do I know how I'm supposed to act if I haven't put God's word inside of me and let him change my mind as to who I should be and what I should be doing, right? All our actions start where? In the mind. We think about it. We think about it. Huh? How many of you weren't born with that filter? You know, a filter that you're just like, oh, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You should have thought that before you said it, right? That filter is missing. Scripture says that God will, the Holy Spirit will renew our mind. I was talking the other day, we're talking about the book of James, right? And about, we're talking about how we don't do the things that we should. How we speak before we should. How we need to, as Christopher was talking about yesterday. See, he's like, look, you were listening, man. I like it. You were listening. About our tongue, about being silent. We need to allow him to renew our mind, man. We need to focus on allowing ourselves to be transformed. How do we do that, man? By getting in his word. By allowing his spirit to lead us. The next thing that gets transformed is our heart. Back to the book of James, man. This is the thing. When before I came to Christ, I wanted all these things. Right, I joke around a lot. Are y'all ready for this? Some people are like, "That's you shouldn't think that way." But so when I was a teenager, I dreamed of growing up and being surrounded by beautiful women in bikinis. Right, I'm just being honest. You know what? I go to the water park with three beautiful ladies in bikinis. It's not at all what I had envisioned in my mind. Right, my wife and my daughters and my, you know, it's not at all what I saw, but it's what I want in my life right now. Right. It's a funny way to look at it, but this is the thing. The desires of your heart change when you follow Christ. When you're led by his spirit. When you let him transform your heart, everything changes. Everything changes. The desires, what you want to do with your time, what you want to do with the things that you have, what your life is all about, right? And they say, well, God says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, but your desires aren't going to be what they are now when you start following him. The desire of your heart when you're a disciple of Christ is that it's whatever God wants for your life. And you do everything you can to find that. Now, we mess up sometimes, but we do everything we can to find that and to focus on that. Our heart. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. You know, when you have love in your heart, and Scripture does say in a different place that love covers a multitude of sins. When you have love in your heart, when you're not holding on to bitterness and issues and problems and what this one said and what that one said and what that one did, and I can't forgive this one and I can't do this and I can't do that and I ain't going there because they're going to be there. You know how much turmoil you have in your life? Do you know when you give that to God, a peace will come into your life because you've let go of all those things and love is in your heart. Again, I love the statement my coach put on the thing the other day. It says, I've given God a million reasons not to love me, and he hasn't accepted one. Do you know what? In our lives, all the people that come to us and try and hand us a million reasons why we shouldn't love them, we shouldn't accept them. Right? We shouldn't accept them. Now, it's real easy for me to say that up here right now because I ain't got nobody being mean to me, right? Real easy for me to tell you what you need to do. I need to do it too. We all need to do it. We need to remember that the next time an issue comes up and we can get mad, we need to just leave it alone, man. Just let it go. Be like Anna and Elsa, right? Let it go. I've been at Disney too much, y'all. It's one of them things, man. I didn't sing it this time, though, y'all. Thankful. Right about that. Huh. The next thing that changes, and this is the most apparent, is the life. Our lives will change. Whenever he comes into our lives, there will be a transformation. There will be a change. And this is how people see him in our life. Again, going back to the scripture we read earlier, this is how we know that we're a part of God, that we obey his commandments, that we do what he's called us to do, that we are who he's called us to be. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God the Father through him. Have you ever noticed all these verses that are talking about what we should do, the one common theme in all of it, do you know what it really is? Thanks. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be content. Be happy for what we do have and not focusing on the things that we don't. Be thankful that God's put people in our lives that we can help by his help to change. You're the only one in your job who serves God, who loves God. Be the best person you can be there and allow other people to see what a disciple of Christ looks like in the workplace when there's nobody else that's there, right? I didn't get very many amens on that one, but it was a good point. 1 Corinthians 10. 31 through 33. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything that I do in my life should be changed now and transformed now so that I'm doing whatever brings glory to God. Not necessarily what I want to do, but what gives glory to God. Sometimes I want to tell people how not nice they are in a not nice way, right? Sometimes I fall down and I have to say, I'm sorry, babe. Sometimes I have to do that. Verse 32 says, give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. How many of you know people are looking for ways to call out God and to say how bad Christians are? I mean, they're searching for it. Let's don't give them a reason. Let's don't give them a reason. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do not seek my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. How many know serving God and doing what he wants you to do is inconvenient a lot of times? A lot of times. It's not easy a lot of times. It's not what we want to do a lot of times. You know what? Look, I'm just going to be real, y'all. I want to just keep hitting that snooze button this morning. I ain't want to get up and come to church. right? I was like, no, I was about to pound my phone, right? I stayed up too late last night. It's my own fault. But what? Is it important that I do what I do? Yes. Is it important that I'm here today? Yes. Is it important that you're here today? Yes. Is it important that we speak into the lives of our coworkers? Yes. Is it important that, as Nick was saying earlier, when somebody says they have an issue, for us to grab their hand and start praying, even if it's awkward at times? Yes. Yes. I'll never forget, man, I was praying for somebody, and they were telling me, man, I got this issue. And April was sitting over to the side because we were at our gym, and she was sitting over there, and they were like, I need this, and I need, you know, this and this. Not talking about God at all, right? Like, he wasn't part of the conversation. And it was like, this, this, and this. And I was like, well, hey, put your hand right there. And they just looked at me, and they're like, okay. And they put their hand there. I just bowed my head and started clicking, and their eyes got about this big around, and they were just like, the whole time I was doing, they were just like this. But you know what? Like 2 days later, that whole situation changed. And although they may not have attributed it to God, I guarantee you one day they're going to think back and remember it. Right? They're going to think back and remember it. Well, listen, I cried out to God for that. This guy prayed, even though he was weird, and he wasn't ready for it. He just did it. But maybe if I just do it in this situation, maybe he'll listen to me, right? Our lives change. There's things that we do that may not be comfortable, that maybe definitely put us out of our comfort zone. But it's important that we do them. Then the most important thing, the whole reason why we are disciples, why discipleship is necessary, is because we lead others to do the same thing. Second Timothy 2, 1 through 2 says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Why do we learn the scriptures? Why do we do those things? So that we have a really great life. No, that's just a bonus. We get what we get is so that we can help others. We can impart what God's given us to others so that they can have the same freedom that we can have. And in turn, they can do what? They can impart it to others. And in turn, they can impart it to others. And it continues to go. Right? The importance of making a disciple, and I was talking with somebody, I can't remember if it was Aaron or John, I don't remember who it was. We were talking about it the other day, and it said something about if one person gets 100 people saved in a year, or like one person a week, that's 52 people, right? But if I speak into one person's life, and then they speak into one person's life, and we each get one person a week, and then those one people, that one person gets one person a week. And then that one person, although those get one person a week. Do you know how many at the end of a year have come to know Christ? Way more than I can ever reach, right? Way more than I can ever touch. And if you understand, that's how Jesus designed it, right? That's how Jesus designed it, sending us out. Two by two is the way that it was done, right? They went out and shared the gospel of Christ. Why? So that we could reach as many people as possible. So there was a church in Louisiana, and they did this for a while. It got kind of weird after a little while. How many know we always mess things up? God does good sometimes. But it was called, they did it, it was a ministry they called the Discipleship of the 12. So one person had 12 people, and they poured into those 12 people's lives. And then each of those 12 people had 12 people, and they poured into 12 people's lives. And then each of those 12 people got 12 people, and they poured in. So they looked for people to help, to show them the Word of God, who maybe have just come to Christ or aren't as experienced in the Word of God. And together, what? They all grew together. And so as this level grew, and they continued to share with each other. And because of that, they became very strong, very knowledgeable of the Word of God, and very able to talk about and to help lead other people to God, and then help make sure that they didn't just get led to God and be like, all right, off to the wolves, right? That's not the way it should be. We should be continuing to pour in to people's lives. Jesus, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, says, and he came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, you, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, that's to us as well. It's not just to the group that was there. It wouldn't matter if he was there to the end of the age, because they're not here right now, right? They're already gone to heaven. That's to us saying, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm sending you guys out to make disciples of everybody, all nations, all races, all gender, right? We're supposed to be bringing people to Christ. And in ourselves, teaching, we also teach. You know how much I learn just getting ready for a message on a Sunday, right? Like, wait, that's in there? That's so cool, right? It's like, well, you've read the Bible. Yeah, but you know what? That's how the Bible works, man. I'll read one passage today and it'll say one thing, and I'll read it again a week later and say something totally different, right? Why? Because I'm in a different place and God's showing me new things in his word. That's why it's constant that we read it over and over and over, right? How many of you are that person? You read a book and you don't want to read that book no more. You already read that book, right? The Bible's not one of those books. You learn something. How many of you ever watched a movie first time and then you watch it again and you saw something totally different? Like, I didn't see that the first time, right? Because I was focused on something else. Our life and the focus that we have in our life at that moment shows us different things out of the word of God. Same passages, same scriptures. It happens time and time and time and time again. That's why it's so important that we learn. That's why it's so important that we share. That's why it's so important that discipleship takes place. Because you know what? I have a lot to learn, right? You know my dad, if you ask him, look, I'm like, where's it at in the Bible? He's like, it's on this page about halfway down on the right-hand side, right? I'm like, are you serious? And if you ask him, he'll still tell you, there's so much I don't know. There's so much I don't know. Why? Because God is always continually showing us things. So no matter how much we've learned, we can always learn more. And a lot of the times by teaching other people, we learn even more. So why is it important for discipleship? Why is it important that we are disciples, that we follow him, that we look to him, that we're dependent on him? Why is it important that we do all the things that we do, that we live dependently on him and we look to him for everything, for guidance, for everything that we do, everything that we say? Then we pray about where we go to lunch. Why? Because sometimes God has some doors and some opportunities he set for us. Well, if I decide I want Taco Bell instead of Arby's, right? Arby's is really good, y'all, but my girls like Taco Bell. What if we go to the wrong place? What if I do the wrong thing? And now, listen, I don't live in a life of what if. Oh, I can't do, I have to do. No, I have a peace about it. Why? Because I allow him to lead us and guide us, man. You can do the same. That's how it works. It's always going to result in transformation. And then we need to lead others to do the same, to allow God to change their hearts and lives. Amen? Guys, if you come back up, we're going to stop. How many of you know God is good? All the time? God's good. See how I just threw that in there, making sure y'all were listening? What's up? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. You be honest and say, man, out of some of the things that you see, I see a lacking in my life right now. I see some areas that I need to change. Whether it be depending on him all the time, whether it be walking by his spirit, whether it be bringing other people along, leading people. Or maybe it's the transformation that still needs to take place that you haven't allowed him to do. First thing I want to say, man, if you've never accepted Christ, this morning is the perfect time for you. No time like the present. I've never accepted that free gift that you're talking about. Maybe I've been trying to earn it or do really good stuff and get it that way, but understanding what you said, there's only one way to him, and that's through Christ. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, you know what? That's me. I need to change. I need to give him my life. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Somebody else. Would you guys all say this prayer with me? Again, it's not the prayer. It's our hearts. Confess them with our mouths. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. I accept your gift. Your son. Access to you. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Man, you got some things that you need to work on today. You got some things that as I was speaking, you're like, you know what, that's me. That's some issues I have. I need to have my mind transformed. I need my heart to be renewed. I need to love more. I need to forgive. There's so many different things that we sometimes fall down in. And today you said, you know what, I know this area and I want to change it. I want to give it to you this morning, God. I want you just to put your hand up, put it back down. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, man, you saw all the hands that were raised, God. You know the hearts that raised them, where they're at, the issues that they're struggling with, Father God. And you understand that in your word it says, if we ask, we receive. God, we want you to take these things from us. We want you to help us in these areas. We want to see you move in our lives in ways we've never seen it before, Father. We need a transformation to come. We need to be true disciples, true followers of your Son. Help us with that now. Help lead us and guide us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing one more song and then we're going to get out of here and we're going to find some ways. This week, man, look for somebody that you can pour into their life. The word of God, what God's done for you, that you can help, that you can, maybe you guys need to get some friends together and just go through the word of God a little bit, man. Read a scripture. Send each other a scripture on text message. Maybe there's something you can do. Find somebody to pour into their life. And then allow people to pour into your life as well. Amen? Amen. It's so easy to do for others sometimes and not let people do for you. Right? In a good way and a bad way. That's how it works. Let's do that. Let's sing.